This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, November 16th, 2020. Hello, welcome aboard. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for almost an hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you had a good weekend, that you and yours are doing well, and that you have awakened to the fact that every source of information you have, except those you dig for, are lying to you. We'll be talking about that today on this edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. We'll be playing you some audio. We'll be digging into some stories and hopefully helping you understand better what's happening to your country. Because what's happening to your country has only happened a couple of times in its history. And since students today are not taught the history of our nation, they don't understand how our nation is supposed to function, and they don't know that what's going on right now is actually covered by the brilliance of our founders who established our nation with a document, a basic foundational law called the Constitution. And in this Constitution, there is an amendment which covers the chance that an election cannot be decided properly in the states. We'll look at that as a bit as we move forward today, a bit later in the podcast. Plus, we'll also look at whether or not leaving mainstream social media is somehow a threat to democracy. I think that falls under the absurd category, but we will look at that anyway. Also, we'll see what releasing the Kraken means, because I think we're about to see this happen. Things are about to get crazy in America, and you need to be prepared for it. But first, before we go into the stories coming to us from places like PJ Media, Daily Wire, Gateway Pundit, and the likes, I want you to roll your memory back a couple of years to Broward County, Florida, and the massacre on Valentine's Day that happened there, as a very troubled young man shot a school up, and the sheriff's department there was basically crippled because of weak leadership, and students and teachers died. Do you remember this? I think you do. There was a policy in place. The school district had a policy in place that had been initiated because their statistics for juvenile crime were getting pretty bad. And the statistics were all minority, or the vast majority of them were minority statistics. Black youth and Hispanic youth committing crimes, hurting people, fighting, stealing, crossing legal boundaries. And the statistics for the Broward County school system were looking pretty bad. And of course, there were calls to do something. Well, the Broward County school system adopted a program that had been experimented with elsewhere and hailed by then President Obama for producing outstanding results. It was called the Promise Program. I've talked about the Promise Program here before. And back when Dave and I were still doing the Mark and Mac show, we talked about the Promise Program then. The Promise Program is a model of progressive policy function. And here's how it works. When the statistics say things are bad, you do not dig into the cause of the statistics and fix the root cause. You don't fix the cause of the problem to change those negative statistics. You just don't report the problems, and the negative statistics begin to drop. This was how Broward County dealt with juvenile crime statistics. They stopped reporting them. They recategorized them. They dressed them up and made them look different than they actually were. And then magically, the negative statistics began to fall. On the surface, it was praised as a glowing success. They were winning the fight against juvenile criminal activity. But nothing actually changed. And because of this program, a young man, a troubled young man, who should have been dealt with by proper authorities, who should have been in the care of mental health experts, was allowed to keep going back to school after causing problems. And one day, after he was already out of school, no longer going to this school, he walked back in, wearing what he tended to wear on a regular basis, a long black trench coat, carrying a guitar case. And inside the guitar case was a weapon, which he used to murder students and teachers on school property. The sheriff's department was crippled by their policies, led by a sheriff who should not have been in charge. And people suffered and died. This method of ignoring real problems to prevent a false solution is common in everything progressives do. Every program progressives propose is not a solution. It's merely putting a coat of paint on things and saying, it's fixed. This is what progressives do, including running elections. When they aren't winning, they change the processes to deliver the results they want, not to figure out what's actually causing the loss and to correct performance, but to change the process so that the performance doesn't affect the outcome. This is how progressives, Marxists, socialists, communists deal with problems. They don't deal with problems unless those problems impact what they want to happen, which is to win power at any and all cost. And so what we're watching happen right now in our national election, our election for the President of the United States, is a handful of democratically controlled states on the fly changing the rules of how an election works in order to get the outcome they desire. Changing how ballots are processed, how signatures are examined, how postmarks are treated, when a ballot can or cannot be received and counted legally, and actually who gets to see the process happening. And as a result of progressive policies in these Democrat-controlled states, there are now lawsuits all across America, not only by the presidential campaign of Donald Trump, but by individuals who have stepped up and said, I saw things happening which should not have happened. And I'm calling all of this into question. It's not just Donald Trump's campaign calling things into question and suing to stop the process before things can be destroyed and not seen for what they are. It's people who care about our country and who volunteered to be poll watchers, who saw illegal activity, who reported illegal activity, and then watched as nothing was done about illegal activity. And that illegal activity was the progressive process of dealing with an issue. The outcome wasn't what they wanted it to be. And so they were changing the rules and changing the process during the election to get the outcome they wanted. In some cases, they did so in the run-up to the election. the Democrat Party pushed very hard for mail-in voting, which was not necessary. The Democrats across America, Democrat governors across America, are locking their states down because of COVID-19. Because the numbers being reported of new cases are shocking. They're protecting the people. But they're not telling the people the truth about COVID-19. They're also using COVID-19 as an excuse in the counting process, or have been in the counting process, keeping people at distances far enough away that they can't actually see the ballots being processed. And they don't know whether or not the signatures really match. They don't know whether or not the postmarks are actually valid. They can't tell because they're not close enough to really see. And if they inch closer, they are interrupted, challenged, and disrupted by Democrat poll workers in order to distract them, to keep them from hindering the process to get the results they so desire on the left. We're watching it happen, we're watching it play out, and we're about to watch something happen that has only happened a couple of other times in the history of this nation. And that is, we're about to watch the Supreme Court get involved, and we're about to watch the Constitution flex its muscles. But in the process, please be aware that as this begins to happen, there will be a lot of shrieking coming from the left. The mainstream news will go nuts. It will go crazy. They will say that the president and his legal team are lying. They will say that this is unheard of and it's a threat to our democracy. Once again, ignoring the fact that the United States of America is not a democracy. It is a republic comprised of 50 smaller democracies, which operate under a constitution to tie them all together, to be united as a nation. They don't want you to understand that what's been happening is a progressive process of changing how the election works in order to win the election. They don't want you to realize that there has actually been massive widespread voter fraud on a very fundamental level, as government officials in states across the nation changed the rules of elections in order to accommodate votes which did not qualify to be counted, and to motivate people using fear to vote in a way which was insecure and could be manipulated to their desired end. They don't want you to realize that. And you have to. You must. You must recognize that what's going on in America right now is the theft of an election. And when you look at how they're doing it, you realize they tried to do the same thing in 2016, but they didn't go far enough. And when you look at it even further, you'll realize they did the same thing in 2012 and succeeded, which is why they thought they could do it again in 2016. Oh, 2012? Obama's popularity numbers were dropping. He was failing. Mitt Romney was getting a good feel from the public. Things were turning around. And then they put in the fix. My Monday, November 16th, 2020. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about 2012, the election for the second term of Barack Obama. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of depth on that because part of the reason is I want you to actually go look at things. Dig beyond the mainstream press. Go look for conservative input on what happened in 2012. And I'll give you this little thing from me, just from me. As I was watching the election pass, I started getting this gut feeling that Romney was turning the corner. Now, looking at Romney now, looking at what he's doing now, the things he's saying, the positions he's taking now, Romney would have been a terrible president. Please don't get me wrong. Romney would have been a progressive in sheep's clothing. What he did in his home, in his state by instituting Romney Care, which became the model for Obamacare, was on the state level. If the state wants to do it and the people of a particular state vote for it, that's awesome. They can do that, but not on a national level. It doesn't work. We're too diverse. This country is too big, and from one place to another, needs are different. The diversity, it's funny, the left talks about being open to diversity and they embrace diversity, but when in the real world, diversity is a problem. Because in a progressive world, one size fits all, and if it doesn't fit you, it's your problem. You are the problem. But I digress. Romney would have made a terrible president, but he would not have been Barack Hussein Obama. And he would not have done some of the things that Obama did. He would have done a few of those things, but the blatantly unconstitutional things that Obama managed to accomplish with the cooperation of Congress and some members of the Supreme Court would not have been done. He would have been a terrible president. But at that time, as this election was playing out, I was watching Romney, and the more I saw of him, the more convinced I was that he was on the right path to winning. And I started getting a gut feeling just from watching people and their responses and their reactions, and I was getting the same gut feeling I've gotten when I've been watching a winning presidential campaign in the past, and that campaign has actually won the election. So I was fairly confident that Romney was on a winning path and that things were about to happen for him because Obama was fumbling. Obama had a bad debate performance. And then Candy Crowley stepped in on a debate and took Obama's side against Romney, correcting him and not allowing him to state the facts when Candy Crowley was also wrong. She was lying for Obama. She was towing the party line and not allowing Mitt Romney to fight back, and he didn't. And as a result, things began to turn. And then Hurricane Sandy, which was never actually a hurricane, then Sandy hit. And it was a 24/7 news cycle looking for all of those exciting, enticing, that sensationalism that comes with a storm hitting the east coast of the United States. The news media was focused on Sandy. And the Obama White House stepped into the middle of it. And Obama became looking presidential, visiting places, making statements, talking about help and aid, and looking presidential. And the news media, which loved Barack Obama, gave him all the time he needed. And as a result, the attention, the focus came away from Mitt Romney. And people started seeing this glowing figure in the White House that needed to stay there. And as a result, the election turned and Romney lost. There was also some help. Because Obama's numbers were dropping, what we're watching happen right now to to a much lesser degree, happened in 2012. I think if you do your digging, you will find that there were reports of computer issues, that there were reports of some misbehavior by ballot counters. You'll see the same things were happening, just not on the scale they're happening right now. But that gave Democrats confidence that they could get away with something. And that's what they put their energy into when it came time for the 2016 election, which we'll get back to in a moment. But first, I want to move things over to the West Coast, over to Oregon, where if you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving with your fam, hang out with your friends, you better be willing to do some jail time. Yeah. Coming from PJMedia.com, Rick Moran writes a story about the governor of Oregon who's going to put you in jail for violating her coronavirus freeze. Kate Brown is the governor of Oregon. She's issued a 2-week coronavirus freeze. She didn't want to use the term lockdown because the people are opposed to that. So, like any decent politician, she repackaged the lockdown and called it by another name. Freeze is as good as any other substitute, I guess. Freeze or lockdown, the result will be the same if you violate it. According to the Oregonian, violations of this new order, which prohibits indoor and outdoor gatherings of more than 6 people from 2 separate households, amounts to misdemeanors. Those who fail to comply with the restrictions could reportedly be fined $1,250 or placed behind bars for up to a month. People in Oregon faced similar penalties for violating the governor's stay-at-home order back in March. Governor Brown's made it very clear. She didn't want to be a tyrant, but because people weren't obeying her commands, she had no choice. A spokesperson for the governor told news reporters that the Oregon State Police will be working with local law enforcement to enforce the governor's orders in the same way local law enforcement officers respond to noise complaints for loud parties. For example, they'll issue citations. For the last 8 months, she says, the governor said over the weekend, for the last 8 months, I've been asking for Oregonians to follow the letter and spirit of the law, and we've not chosen to engage law enforcement. At this point in time, unfortunately, we have no other option. So when there's no other option, you threaten to bring the jackboot down on people's necks, huh? Governor Brown is auditioning for a role in Joe Biden's cabinet, apparently. Most Democrats will look favorably on her whip cracking. But is it a freeze or a lockdown? You decide. Under Governor Brown's temporary freeze, which is set to last until early December, restaurants and bars will be reducing their business to takeout and delivery options. Gyms, museums, and skating rinks will also be required to close during that period. The move comes as the state has reported a surge in COVID-19 cases in recent weeks. If it looks like a lockdown, walks like a lockdown, quacks like a lockdown, I guess it's a freeze, at least, in a liberal fantasy land where I'm sure the governor is congratulating herself on being so clever. But sending people to jail for partying is being far too clever for most of us. Those of us who are sane and see things as they really are realize this is tyranny. But this is progressive government. This is how progressive government works. Oh, so you won't comply? Well, then how about some jail time? And we're not talking about people breaking into the bank, robbing convenience stores. We're talking about people getting together to play cards, having family and friends over for Thanksgiving, and gatherings like that. So, the governor of Oregon expects us to believe this is for the good of the people. It's really hard to believe that when we're reading stories every single day about coronavirus tests, which are coming up with odd results. Like someone going in to have a test and it coming up negative. Going in the next day and it comes up positive. Going in for a third day and the test comes up negative again. Another, a recording artist, just in the last few days, went crazy because they did two tests side by side, one nostril, then the other. One of the tests came up positive. The other one came up negative. Same nose, different nostrils, same kind of test. Two different results on the same person at the same time. This just lends credence to the opinion that the numbers we're being told are bogus, that the tests aren't really working like they say they do, and that we are all being manipulated by politicians who want power and control, and they're using fear to do it. They used fear to change the way we vote, to change the outcome of an election, and now they just want to keep us all under control. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Welcome back. Let's head over to social media, shall we? A lot of people are stepping away from mainstream social media, Facebook and Twitter, because they're watching things happen that they don't approve of. And here's an example. This morning, on Twitter, the president tweeted about winning the election. I'm scrolling back through Twitter to find I'm just gonna have to go to my page here. Hold on a second. Let me pull my particular thing up here and I'll bring it to you that way if I can. Okay. Let's go there. Yes, here we go. Wow, it's not there. Imagine that. The tweet that I made, the repost, the retweet that I made about Twitter lying is gone. And this was less than 45 minutes ago. How about that? Isn't that interesting? Well, what do you know? Well, let's do this. Let's see if I can find... Because I really want you to see what's going on here, because it is evident of what's happening. Let's see here. There we are. I want to go over to here. Let's pull you up. Okay, so let's see. Looking at President Trump's Twitter feed, because this is what it came from. And now I'm looking, and... It's not in his Twitter feed. How about that? Holy cow. Well, what he did, what he posted, he posts things like this all the time. Here's one: most fraudulent election in history. And then there's a notice. It's a little exclamation point inside of a blue circle and blue text next to it, which is a link. And it says this claim about election fraud is disputed. Now, when you click that, you go, there it is. You click that, you go to their fact checkers, whoever they may be. Over on Facebook, it's USA Today and some other people. They're all progressive news outlets, and they just quote each other, talking about the inaccuracy. And what they're doing is they're not actually talking about the point. They're just saying, oh, we disagree with this, and all of these people disagree with this. Well, a whole bunch of people can disagree with something and be wrong. Both things can be true. Here's the one I was looking for. It's from about 9 hours ago. In all caps, I won the election! Exclamation point. Oh, look underneath it. That little circle with the exclamation point inside of it. And it says, official sources called this election differently. Really? Official sources? Official sources. Who would those official sources be? Let's see here. Okay, let's look at their link. You go over there, and then they have a statement that says Joe Biden is the projected winner of the 2020 presidential election, and it says he has surpassed the 270 electoral vote college vote required to win the race, according to projections by the Associated Press, NBC News, and other outlets. Now, below that, there's NBC News, there's the AP, there's the MSNBC, and more, confirming what they have to say. Problem. None of those are actually official outlets. Those are all news outlets. That is news reporting. It is their projection of their desired outcome. It's not reality. It's not real. They're lying to you. And that is why people are leaving social media, the giants, Twitter, Facebook, and they're heading to places like Parler, MeWe, Gab, other places where their First Amendment rights are protected, where they will not be censored for tweeting what they want to tweet. Apparently, like I was, looking at, holy cow, it's just nuts. That was not 9 hours ago that I retweeted that. That was just earlier this morning. It was just a little while ago. And here's another example of fraud. The CBS News has a report out. It's on Twitter that says the WHO chief warns that a vaccine alone wouldn't end the COVID pandemic. This is from CBS. My question is that the same WHO that didn't report the facts for a long time because China told them not to? I'm asking for a friend, by the way. That's the thing. The news agencies are not telling you the truth. The social media outlets are not telling you the truth. They're censoring you when you try to tell the truth. And as a result, a lot of people are leaving. And that's causing a bit of a panic. For example, over at CNN.
And more into their own echo chambers, more and more into their own bubbles, especially Trump voters. There's this new social media app called Parler getting a lot of attention because conservatives are saying they're leaving Twitter and Facebook, going off to Parler because they believe Parler is a safer space for them. What we're seeing is even more of a bunker mentality in right-wing media, and ultimately that's not good for the country.
No, it's not good. It's a threat to democracy that these people are in echo chambers and they're getting fed a diet of lies, essentially. Brian
lies.
Stelter.
That's what it is. Thanks.
Yep. Brian Stelter, thank you so much.
Yeah, Brian Stelter.
Well, a coronavirus vaccine
also
could be on the verge.
Out of here. That was Brian Stelter from CNN on another CNN program and talking about the echo chamber and how bad it is for the country. It's actually a threat to democracy, is what they're saying. Well, once again, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, we don't have a democracy in the United States of America. We don't have a pure democracy. We have a representative republic. And the way the election for president works is that each state votes for the president, casting their number of electoral college votes. We are voting for which electoral college electors get to cast those votes. We are telling, essentially with our vote, we're telling our state government what we want to happen on the national level, and then they appoint the electoral college voters to reflect our view. It's set up that way for a reason. It's to keep the dense population centers from controlling the lesser populated areas of the country because, as I said a while ago, we're diverse. We have different needs in different places of the country, and the vote has to reflect that diversity so that everybody has a voice. If we had a straight democracy, then the people in what the liberals like to call flyover country, those people wouldn't have a voice. It would be ignored. Their votes literally would matter, not at all. And so we have to have a system set up so that it works that way. And it's not a democracy. It's a representative republic. We vote to influence representatives for our views. And the president answers to the state governments who elected him. It's not an easy system to comprehend because, for the most part, nobody is taught how our system works in school anymore. And the reason they're not taught how our system works in school anymore is because progressives are in charge of the educational system, and progressives don't want people to know the genius of our system. They just want people to think it's not fair. They want people to believe it's unfair to people not to, when the majority of the people want something, that they don't get what they want. What would be even more unfair would be for the majority of the people who live in a small portion of this nation dictate to the rest of the nation how they're going to live when they don't live where the rest of the nation lives. That would be even more unfair. But we're not taught about this anymore. Our kids aren't taught this. They aren't taught it at the college level. In fact, at the college level, they're lectured about how evil our system is. And the news media, having been taught at the college level, just parrots everything they're told. And people like Brian Stelter, the potato. I'm just going to call him Tater from now on. Tater Stelter. When Tater Stelter, because he looks like it. He looks like Mr. Potato Head. When Tater says what he has to say, you can pretty much bet he's 100% wrong. He pretty much is all the time. So if he's calling this a threat to democracy, what it is a threat to progressivism. And in that sense, it's a very good thing. It's also a good thing that the way our system is designed to work is about to start working. Attorney Sidney Powell said a few days ago that she's going to be releasing the Kraken. Release the Kraken! Today, she and Rudy Giuliani, they did just that on Sunday Morning Futures with Marie Bartiromo. She noted, she was also on Lou Dobbs, where she stated that there was a massive fraud in the 2020 U.S. election. Then she noted that she would be soon releasing the Kraken. And on Sydney, Mornings with Maria, she had this to say.
Welcome back. According to public records, Dominion voting machines are used in 2,000 jurisdictions in 30 states. According to experts, if one site has a flaw, other sites are likely to as well, which is why Texas rejected using Dominion software three times, raising concerns that the system was not safe from fraudulent or unauthorized manipulation. That's troubling, given we already know that at least two software glitches in Georgia and Michigan occurred on election night. Attorney Sidney Powell is leading the charge against Dominion, and she says she has enough evidence of fraud to launch a massive criminal investigation. Sidney, thanks very much for being here. We appreciate your time this morning. I want to get right into it. We just heard about the software made by Smartmatic from Rudy, and I want to get your take on what you and I spoke about just a few minutes ago, and that is a gentleman named Peter Neffinger. Tell me how he fits into all of this.
Yes, well, he is listed as its former Admiral Peter Neffinger, or retired Admiral Peter Neffinger. He is president and on the board of Smartmatic. And it just so happens he's on Mr. Biden's presidential transition team that's going to be non-existent because we're fixing to overturn the results of the election in multiple states. And President Trump won by not just hundreds of thousands of votes, but by millions of votes that were shifted by this software that was designed expressly for that purpose. We have sworn witness testimony of why the software was designed. It was designed to rig elections. He was fully briefed on it. He saw it happen in other countries. It was exported internationally for profit by the people that are behind Smartmatic and Dominion. They did this on purpose. It was calculated. They've done it before. We have evidence from 2016 in California. We have so much evidence, I feel like it's coming in through a fire hose.
Wow. So, Sydney, you feel that you will be able to prove this. Do you have the software in your possession? Do you have the hardware in your possession? How will you prove this, Sydney?
Well, I've got lots of ways to prove it, Maria, but I'm not going to tell on national TV what all we have. I just can't do that.
Okay, but you have a small time frame here. The elections are supposed to be certified in early December. Do you believe that you can present this to the courts and be successful within this just couple of weeks?
Well, let me put it this way. First of all, I never say anything I can't prove. Secondly, the evidence is coming in so fast, I can't even process it all. Millions of Americans have written, I would say by now, definitely hundreds of thousands have stepped forward with their different experiences of voter fraud. But this is a massive election fraud, and I'm very concerned it involved not only Dominion and its Smartmatic software, but that the software essentially was used by other election machines also. It's the software that was the problem. Even their own manual explains how votes can be wiped away. They can put, it's like drag and drop Trump votes to a separate folder and then delete that folder. It's absolutely brazen how people bought this system and why they bought this system. In fact, every state that bought Dominion for sure should have a criminal investigation, or at least a serious investigation of the officers in the states who bought the software. We've even got evidence of some kickbacks, essentially.
Kickbacks. I want to take a short break and come back on that. And I want to ask you about the kickbacks and who took kickbacks in which state. Sydney, stay with us. Quick break, and we've got more breaking news this morning from Sydney Powell. Stay with us.
And that was just one of the interviews. She referred to Rudy Giuliani also having something to say. And I've also got that audio, and I want you to hear that as well.
Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And I have a graphic showing the states where they stopped counting, which I thought was also strange to stop counting in the middle of election night. One source says that the key point to understand is that the Smartmatic system has a back door that allows it to be, that allows the votes to be mirrored and monitored, allowing an intervening party a real-time understanding of how many votes will be needed to gain an electoral advantage. Are you saying the states that use that software did that?
Well, I can prove that they did it in Michigan. I can prove it with witnesses. We're investigating the rest. In every one of those states, though, we have more than enough illegal ballots already documented to overturn the result in that state. Because not only did they use a Venezuelan company to count our ballots, which almost should be illegal per se. Number two, they didn't allow Republicans in key places to observe the mail vote. That makes the mail vote completely invalid. Now, they didn't do it everywhere. They did it in big cities where they have corrupt machines that will protect them, meaning in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh, in Detroit. They didn't have to do it in Chicago, in New York, or Boston. They could have. They have corrupt machines there. They did it absolutely in Phoenix, Arizona. They did it absolutely in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Republicans were shut out from enough of the count so they could accomplish what Smartmatic wanted to do. And what you and that pattern that you have there, we have evidence that that's the same pattern Smartmatic used in other elections in which they were disqualified. In other words, this is their pattern of activity. And yes, there is a backdoor, and we actually have proof of some of the connections to it. Right now, our cases are the most developed in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. But we already have enough affidavits from people who were pushed out of being able to observe. So in each one of the states that he lost narrowly, he won those states probably by 2-3%. I mean, it's a terrible thing that happened to us.
Do you have the Dominion hardware in your possession? Do you need to have that hardware in your possession to prove it? Can you prove the case without the hardware or the software?
We have people that I can't really disclose that can describe the hardware in great detail. We have some of the people, former government employees, our government employees and others that were there at the creation of Smartmatic. They can describe it, they can draw it, they can show it. And then we have proof that I can't disclose yet. But I'm confident. And this has to be examined, Maria, beyond this election, which I believe will get overturned. But beyond this election, this whole thing has to be investigated as a national security matter. And the governors who gave contracts to this company never bothered to do any due diligence. I mean, I can't imagine you would give a contract to a company if you went one step further and found out it's really being run by people that are close to Maduro and Chavez. I can't imagine you would do that unless you're out of your mind.
So you only have a few weeks, Rudy, because they want to certify the state elections early December. Do you believe you will be able to prosecute and be heard within this time frame?
Of course. And I can't imagine how a state legislature can certify based upon ballots where we had no opportunity to inspect. And it was done deliberately. I mean, the fact that it happened in all those states, right, tells you it was a plan. The crooked Democratic leaders in those 10 or 12 places where we were shut out didn't all develop that idea by themselves, right? They didn't have the same dream that night. This is a plan. This is maybe the plan Joe Biden was talking about. He's got the best voter fraud plan in the world. Well, he has a really good one, but lucky we caught it.
Wow. All right, Rudy, we're going to be following your investigation. Thank you very much for breaking all of this news on this program this morning.
Please, you may be the only one following it because we're also enduring a lot of censorship, a lot, almost complete, like we're not in America.
Unbelievable. Rudy Giuliani, we'll keep on it. Promise you that.
And there's both of the sound bites from Maria Bartiromo's show yesterday. And Rudy lays out the groundwork, and then Sidney Powell comes in and gives us as many specifics as possible. These are, by the way, I haven't mentioned the entire time I've been with you so far this time, but every bit of this is available in the show notes today. So go grab the show notes at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. And follow these links yourself, watch the video, listen to the audio, dig into the other linked stories involved, and learn for yourself what's really going on here. Right now, we're about to see something happen. We're about to see a legal process take place that's only happened a couple of times in America's history. And be prepared, because as this begins to play out, as we see the fraud, which has actually been going on, as we see these lawsuits expose the actual widespread effort to overturn an election, to win an election for someone who didn't get the vote necessary to win an election, that's fraud. As we see this all play out and people are being more exposed to the truth, be aware that on every news program, on every news network, and the major entertainment networks with news programs, you're going to see people tell you it's not true. Because they have a lot invested in Joe Biden becoming president. A lot. A lot. And because of having all of this invested, they need you to believe that everything, all of these lawsuits, all of the information being brought forward, it's all fraudulent, it's all fake, it's all a lie. When the actual lie is what's coming from the Democrat Party and ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, NPR, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, and sadly, Fox News during their news programs. During their morning show and their opinion block at night, you're going to primarily get the truth, but not during the news shows. You're going to be fed the line that everybody is reading everywhere, and that is that there is no proof of widespread voter fraud. Remember George Stephanopoulos from the other day? Do you have proof? Interrupting. Do you actually have proof that there's widespread voter fraud? And they keep using that terminology, widespread voter fraud. Because they know that if they give the impression that this is not a widespread conspiracy, that people will just say, ah, it's just an incident here and there. They're isolated. Nobody can prove anything really is going on all over the place. Well, we're about to see that proof happen. We're about to see the actual legal process take place. And we're about to see an election take a direction that it hasn't more than a couple of times in American history. And as a result, all of those people who've been objecting, all of those people who have been screaming and yelling, are going to dial it up. Not just a notch, but several notches. Those people who attacked people after the Million MAGA March, a couple of 100,000 people in Washington, D.C. supporting the president. They were there in force, in strength, all day long. And then, as the day grew late and the numbers drew down to very, very few, Antifa and BLM came out and started attacking people. Those people will rise up and create more problems for America again. And because governors, Democrats, progressives, and city leaders in these progressive states, these Democrat states, will not do anything to deter these people from doing what they do, you can count on it getting ugly. It's about to get nasty in America. But I think it's worth it. Because this nastiness will reveal the left for what it truly is. And the majority of Americans who want America to be what it was when it was a great nation will rise up and put a stop to those who are trying to tear America down and to make it a socialist nation. And make no mistake about it, that's what this is all about. Remember what I posted the other day on the Facebook page and on the Twitter page about what this was all about. Making no mistake about what this was all about. Why this is all happening. It's because in 2016, the progressives failed. They failed to do what they were planning to do. They tried to win an election to continue the effort to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And so they dialed everything up. They worked harder. And because of that, when that effort to work harder and to make sure they didn't lose this time, they pushed a little too far. And in pushing too far, they revealed their hand. And when they've revealed their hand, they gave us what we need to take legal action and expose them for what they are and what they're trying to do. The Kraken is about to be unleashed. Buckle up. And make sure you come back tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Have a great day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.